Good morning. I'm going to do a Fenton today, get up here in the middle of things. Oh, man. Well, hope you had a Merry Christmas. Looking forward to a Happy New Year. Today, you're going to have a sermunion. I don't know. You know, I think God has quite a sense of humor. I always get the preaching duties when you're supposed to go short. I have not mastered the gift of brevity. I'm telling you, I'm working on it. So, yeah, I know. Anyway, so we're going to do our best to cover some stuff that'll be helpful for us in the next few minutes. So, welcome today. We are 10 and a half hours into our 7 days of prayer. And we want to thank Victoria Lane for kicking it off for us. Where is Victoria? There she is. She even came to church this morning. So, yeah, it's pretty awesome. And I want to tell you, you know, we're a small group. This is not a big church. But, you know, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, right? It's the size of the fight in the dog that really makes a difference. So, you know, we're sort of a small community of believers. And we're taking on we kind of got a full basket here, taking on 168 hours of continuous prayer. That's a big bite for each one of us. And you've really done great in kind of filling up our roster of prayer. And if you're here for the first time, this is our third year of starting our year with 7 days of prayer, and it was quite an adventure for us as we began in 2017 or 16, whenever that was. And hopefully, it's still an adventure. Because, you know, it can become just something that we do. And that would just be a shame if it shrunk down into an assignment or a time in my schedule or an obligation or something that was expected of me, or everybody else is doing it, so I think I should too. You know, that would just be a shame. And so we don't want that to happen. But there's a temptation for that to happen. You know, the guys have been getting together for about 2 or 3 years on Tuesday. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, and I have no one to blame but myself, but for the last few weeks or months, the Tuesdays have lost a little something. We're there. We've kept it going. And that's good. We keep showing up, and that's part of the deal, right? Showing up. If you don't show up, nothing's going to happen. But sometimes you can show up and not much happens. And so I have no one to blame but myself. I feel like there's been a little edge that's been taken off. It's gotten a little flat for me and from my observation. That's not a criticism. That's just saying that's the battle we have to fight to keep it not just going, but keep it growing. Keep it becoming more and bigger and taking steps into places we've never been before, instead of just going down the same trail, just following the same trail without even have to think about it. You know how that is when you're driving, right? You're driving somewhere and you're going, where am I? Why did I take this turn? I'm going over there. And so it's a challenge for us to break out of the routine or the automatic part of our prayer life to keep it an adventure. And so that is something that I think our 7 days of prayer can be for every single one of us. And you know, I had a bottle of water over there my wife found for me somewhere, and I sure would like to that. Anyway, so thank you so much. God bless you. This is going to keep me going for a long time. Okay, enough on that. I hope that we're going to just talk about a few things today that hopefully will help us make the most of the opportunity. And you may not have signed up for an hour of prayer. You know, you don't have to sign up to do it. And so I'm hoping, whether you've found the slot that works for you, or you'll just make the time. Just go, I'm gonna just dive into this. My name's not on the list, but you know, this is between me and the Lord anyway, right? It can be pretty daunting to spend an hour praying, can't it? Because, I mean, honestly, how many of us do that very often? I mean, not many of us do. And you can think, wow, what am I going to do all that time? Hope I can stay awake and all that kind of stuff. But honestly, I think if we prepare ourselves, the time is going to fly by. And you're going to go, wow. You know, because Jesus built into his life some extended periods of prayer. He built that into his life. He didn't do that every single day. But there are times when he just said, I need to spend some extended time of prayer. And so he started his ministry that way. The Bible says the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. I don't think that means, you know, the Holy Spirit was behind him with a whip going, pew, get out there. But that in his mind, it became something that he says, I have just got to go. I've just got to go because I'm about to start the mission. And I've got to figure this out. And so he spent 40 days trying to figure out, how is this going to happen? How's this going to work? And he had lots of options, right? He had the option to change bread into stones into bread and jump off things and do all. All these were says. Is this the way I want to go? Is this how this works? Is this? It took him 40 days to work it out. But when he came out, he had his direction. What if Jesus had just jumped into his ministry? Probably would be a sad story. We probably wouldn't be here today, right? But he took the time to do it. Before he settled on the 12 apostles, what did he do? He said, I got to spend the night praying about this. Not an hour, but a night. I'm going to stay up. I'm going to build this into my life. This is the time for me to do this. He did that. After John the Baptist was murdered, what did Jesus do? He said, I got to get away. He got interrupted by about 3,000 people, but he fed them, and then he ordered the disciples to get in the boat and leave him alone, and he went back up on the mountain and spent the night praying. So I've just got to do this right now. This is what I have to do. Toward the end of his ministry, he took three of his disciples up on the mountain and met with Abraham and Michael and John. No, it was Abraham and Elijah and Moses. Yeah, you know. You remember that song anyway. Some of you don't remember the song. It was pretty funny though. Anyway, he got up there and he before the final push, he said, I've got to go up to the mountain. And they had a discussion about it. And it was transforming. And the Bible says he often went away to the wilderness to pray. And then, of course, he ended his ministry as he began it. I got to go to the garden. I've got to go to my place, my special place. Because this is where it's coming down right now. Betsy's mom used to give us a 5-minute phone call. It was called her quarter call. Back in the day when you just, you know, it was all lines, no cell phones. You had to pay for a long-distance call. And it got expensive. It got expensive. Well, you know, there's many reasons why her mother was a millionaire, but one of them was the quarter call. She wouldn't call unless it cost her a quarter, and that was after 5 and on weekends. She would get a 5-minute call from her mother. It cost a quarter. Well, that was nice, but it was so much nicer when we went down to Sarasota and spent some time with them in person, right? And, you know, I think that's just the way our lives, our work, is that, you know, we're doing our quarter calls. You know, we're busy. We are. There's a lot going on. But there are times when we just got to go deep. We can't survive living on the quarter calls. We really can't. And if we strive to do that, we'll flatten out spiritually. We won't see ourselves growing. Our spiritual life will cease to be an adventure. And so there are times when we just go, okay, this is my time to go deep. To really lay it out. To really say some things to God that I need to say, that I've been walking around it. You know some of those conversations? I just don't want to go there. It's uncomfortable. Or it's going to take too much time. And so there are times after you say, okay, God, it's all right, this is our go deep time. There's some things I need to say to you because I've got some complaints. But there are also some things I need to say to you because I so much appreciate all that you've done for me. And I don't take the time to let you know that. And I don't really let my mind go there. This is our time to stop thinking about things and start praying about things. Oh, I think about all the Lord does for me. Hey, Lord, come here. Let me tell you something, man. I cannot even believe how good you've been to me in spite of myself. To lay that out there, to go deep. These are our go deep times. So, two or three passages we're going to read. See how time flies? Time flies. It really does. Okay, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 21. And this probably won't follow with me because I'm going to be in the Message Bible. So if you don't want to be too confused, just listen. I'm going to read a couple of passages about prayer that hopefully will help us to look toward our time with greater excitement and anticipation and a sense of what can happen here. Matthew 21, verse 18. Early the next morning, Jesus was returning to the city. He was hungry. Seeing a lone fig tree alongside the road, he approached it, anticipating a breakfast of figs. Oh man, I love figs. When he got to the tree, there was nothing but leaves. He said, "No more figs from this tree ever." You know, Jesus could get an attitude. It's not a sin, it's just an attitude. The fig tree withered on the spot. A dry stick. The disciples saw it happen. They rubbed their eyes, saying, "Did we really see that? A leafy tree one minute and a dry stick the next?" But Jesus was matter of fact. "Yes. And if you embrace this kingdom life and don't doubt God, you'll not only do minor feats like I did to the fig tree, but also triumph over huge obstacles. This mountain, for instance, you'll tell, go jump in the lake, and it'll jump. Absolutely everything, ranging from small to large, as you make it a part of your believing prayer, gets included as you lay hold of God." That'll jack your prayer life up right there. He said, let me just tell you something, guys. He says, if you embrace this kingdom life, that's, you got to start there. I want it. I want this kingdom life. I want it. I'm gonna stop walking around it, looking at it, rubbing up against it. He says, I am going to embrace this kingdom life because I believe it is the life. I believe it is the only life. And I will never be able to experience it unless I embrace it. And so I says, if you embrace this kingdom life and don't doubt God. Yeah, we all doubt God, don't we? We've had those moments, years, decades where we've doubted him. Because he doesn't work like we work. He doesn't work on our time schedule. It's not instant. It's not quick. It's not immediate. We lose sight of the gift of the long wait. The gift that is in that span of time we have we've missed out on. Don't doubt God. You will do not only what I did the fig tree, but triumph over huge obstacles. Your huge obstacle. What is yours? What is just too big, too much, too complicated, too long, too deeply enrooted, that we just go, no, it's never going to change. It can never get right. It can never be put back together. It can never be healed. It can never be overcome. I can never triumph over that. This is Jesus Christ speaking here. He said, I want you to believe this. I want you to believe this for yourself. But you have to make it a part of your believing prayer as you lay hold of God. You know, you can kind of put your hand on somebody and it's not too impressive. It's kind of soft. You know, talk about some football players. They say, well, he's kind of soft. But then you put your hand on somebody and you go, oh my goodness, this person is a force to be reckoned with. You know, when we go into prayer, let's lay hold of God and go, this is the force to be reckoned with. This is the person that I need to be hooked up with. The immense power of prayer. I don't have time to read all these scriptures, but one of my other favorites, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "First, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people." Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. And, Betsy did something interesting this week. She just sent out a message to a bunch of friends, and they said, "This is my special week of prayer. What can I pray for you about?" You remember the story, Almighty Bruce, the movie? Was it Almighty Bruce? Jim Carrey?
Bruce Almighty.
Bruce Almighty. Yeah, Bruce Almighty. When they're doing the prayer thing, and he says, "Oh, let's make prayer sticky notes." You know, the whole place was just filled with sticky notes. That's kind of like how Betsy feels right now. She just sort of threw it out there, and man, the sticky notes just kind of went, whoa, man, it's like, holy mackerel, I've got a lot to pray about right here. And so, you know, let me invite you to invite others to go, what can I pray for you about this week? And you know what? It's probably just not going to be this week. I'm just going to probably keep praying about these things. But this is my opportunity. And Betsy said, I was just amazed at just all the different things that people wanted and needed prayers about. Paul said in Romans chapter 15, verse 30, I urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to join in my struggle by praying to God for me. Have you ever seen somebody over there and go, man, that poor thing, she's just going through heck, isn't she? Golly, I feel so bad for her. Oh. Well, you know what I can do? I can join in their struggle. I can go, okay, this is your struggle. Let me join you in that struggle by praying for you. One of the heroes in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, Epaphras, he said he was always wrestling in prayer for you. I'm not a wrestler, but my boys were. You know, that is a man's sport. I mean, you go in there basically naked. And Austin was one of the most modest boys I've ever seen, for him to put on that singlet and step into the ring. But you know what? It's just like, it's no holds barred, and you're all out there, and it's how long are those rounds? Three-minute rounds. You would think, oh, yeah, no big deal. Anyway, wrestling in prayer for you. I remember Austin's last match. It was in the state wrestling tournament. I saw him quit. I'd never seen him quit before. And it kind of upset me. And his coach was sitting there, and I went, what just happened? He said, Mr. Gucci, you don't understand, because you've never been in the ring. There comes a point in time where you've given it all and you just don't have anything else to give. It's you're spent. You know, sometimes we get that way in our lives. Well, I can't go anymore. Will somebody please step into the ring for me? Will somebody please help me, join me in my struggle? I'm dying here. I can't go any further. I am at my wit's end. I don't know what to do or where to go or how to fix it. So, join me in my struggle. Well, what a privilege to be able to do that. I've had people do that for me, haven't you? It's the reason I'm here today. That woman over there. You know, I was leading a church in Tallahassee back in the 80s. I was just struggling spiritually. We sat down. I remember sitting in the bed in our spare bedroom. She said, I'm worried about you. I'm worried about your relationship to God. I looked her straight in the eye, and I said, what relationship to God? She said, at that point, I said, I'm going to pray for this man because he's not praying for himself. She carried me through. You can do that. Just look around. There's some people in our church that are just, man, they're hanging on by a thread. And just, okay, I am that person. I will step into the ring for them. And you know what? I'm going to see God lift them up. I am going to see God do something amazing. It's not going to necessarily be my words of encouragement, although there need to be some. Or my putting my arm around them, although I need to put my arm around them. But it is going to be the power of Almighty God who I have aroused by my prayers. You know, Daniel chapter 10, this creature appears to Daniel on the river, this angel. I mean, the description of this person is incredible. And he says, I have come as a response to your prayers. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, prayer is a call to arms. It's a call to arms. There are some angels that are going to get off the bench and into the ring because I commanded them to do that in the name of Jesus. In fact, the Holman Study Bible at the end says this about one of the angels. Michael was the only angel that had the courage to join me in this struggle. Courage? Angels need courage? I thought they were invincible. I thought they couldn't be hurt. I thought they couldn't be killed. There was something that was keeping this angel from coming because all the other angels didn't have the courage to do it. This guy did. Well, it was Daniel's prayer. Oh, I have hearing aids. This ear just died. That's not going to affect my speaking, though. Wrestling in prayer. You know, that's a nice topic for us to be on, right? Okay. Time is up. Got one more point. This is our chance to dive into our ever-deepening relationship to God. You know, if you haven't been there personally, you've probably known somebody that's been there personally, whose life has been stunted by addictive elements or behaviors. And when we become dependent on substances or certain behaviors, it stunts us emotionally and relationally, doesn't it? Yeah. Because we begin to depend on those for comfort or soothing or whatever to get us through. And so we cease to really connect relationally, intimately. And that can happen to us in our prayer lives, because we depend on our activity, on our attendance, or we depend on our bank account or our position in this world for things, and the relationship suffers between us and God. And so this is our chance to kind of try to cast those off. And so I'm going to dive into this. We're just not good at relationships, especially guys, right? I think that's one of the reasons Jesus was a man instead of a woman. Because everybody knows that men can't have relationships. Jesus said, let me show you that we can. I'm a man, and I know relationships. I just want to show you it can happen. All right, so it gives us our chance to step into the ever-deepening relationship to God. It's so easy for us to say the same kind of prayers that we prayed when we were just young Christians. It's the same prayer. It's the same outline. It's the same words. It's pretty much the same. Different people, different circumstances, but it's all here. And I've got to believe that there's no limit to what our relationship to God can become. There's an opportunity for more intimacy, for more knowledge, for more insight, for more understanding. You know, the Bible talks about us being followers, following in His steps, being disciples, learners. What else did He talk about? To be imitators of Christ. But you know, it's really so much more than that. I don't want to be just a follower. I don't want to just be an imitator. Monkey see, monkey do. Okay, this is how He did that. Okay, wait a minute, slow down. Can you do that again? I want the life. I want what He's got. I mean, if we could have only seen Jesus in person. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You know, he made a statement one time to John about, you know, my joy I give to you. Well, you know, the only movies I saw about Jesus were just like, he was not a happy guy. And it's almost like, my joy I give to you. I think when Jesus said that, they went, you got to be kidding me. I have never met anybody more joyful, more courageous, more compassionate, more everything that I could dream to be. Look at that guy. Look at that guy. I'll have what she's drinking. I want that. I don't want to just be an imitator of it. I don't want to just follow in His steps. I want it. And that's the mystery Paul talks about. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And that only comes through a long-term, ever-growing attention to our relationship to God in prayer. Time spent with Him, that mystery, that magic, that unexplainable time, those words that have spoken out of weakness, out of doubt, out of fear, out of confusion. I keep stepping into that place. And somehow, some way, God begins to transform me one degree of glory to another. It's a process that takes our whole lives. But it's a process that, if we're fortunate, will never end. Ephesians chapter 3. This is Paul's prayer. We'll kind of close out with this. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts. As you trust Him, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. May you experience the love of Christ Not just read about it, think about it, experience it. Though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or imagine. Those are our prayers, brothers and sisters. As we pray this week, let's pray, God, take me someplace. Take me someplace I have never been. Take me into an unfamiliar land, experience, landscape. Take me places that I couldn't even imagine that I could be spiritually, in my relationship with you, in my relationship with my husband or my wife or my children. Take me to those places. I can't find it on my own, but I believe that you will lead me there. You will help me to find that place. I want to stop living here. I want to start living in a different place, the place that we long for. Infinitely more than we can ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. This was written many generations ago. Forever and ever. Amen. So in our relationship to God, this is a lot to be done this week, isn't there? A lot to be done. And so my prayer, and I think our prayer for each that we have for each other, is that that time that we have is extraordinary. And that would be a time that we have thought about and planned on and looked forward to. A time that I pray that when it's all said and done, it was more than you expected it would be. And that it would be a stepping stone for you and your family to keep stepping forward, stepping upward and inward into God as we look forward to a great new year in 2019. It's going to be exciting.